College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Yes, it's Wednesday, hump day, high heat day, June 26th. We're at 76 degrees, heating up to 96 degrees, humidity galore. We'll talk about the forecast, but it's going to feel a lot hotter than 96 today. A Philadelphia police officer remains hospitalized this morning after being shot during the traffic stop over the weekend in the Kensington section of the city. Many prayers as his family surrounds him, many fellow officers. We've been updating you on the situation. The 31-year-old officer, 25th District, his name is officially not being released at the request of his family, and he remains in the intensive care unit at Temple University Hospital this morning. We are told that, yes, he is still on that respirator, his family by his side. We know he's a family man, husband, father. That suspect in the case, 36-year-old Ramon Rodriguez Vasquez, charged with two counts of attempted murder and other offenses. He's being held on $12.5 million in bail. And as we've been talking about, learning more about this suspect charged, who not only is accused of firing at the officers there and striking this officer, but then fleeing, taking a hostage, causing a barricade situation, another attempted carjacking, and some newer details as we're trying to figure out what happened back 13 years ago when he was in Puerto Rico, when he was arrested for allegedly, according to those records, not allegedly, according to those officials, shooting at another officer and another carjacking back in the day. But apparently, as they look at this, Philadelphia police and detectives not getting many answers as to what happened next in Puerto Rico to 36-year-old Ramon Rodriguez Vasquez. In other words, if he was arrested and charged in that case some 11 years ago, what was the proceeding? Did he spend jail time there? Was he convicted? There seems to be a gap.
Staggering that we can't get the information from a territory that is under control of the United States. I mean, this guy's got a track record of violence towards police officers. I would imagine the only reason it's not more than $12 million bail or no bail is because it's at this point attempted murder because the officer is clinging to his life on a ventilator.
Yeah.
So he killed a police officer over a decade ago. If this officer dies, we should just take this guy out back and go firing squad on him. Mm-hmm. Get rid of this scumbag.
It's just so I know that their work, it's an active investigation, but it's it's a devastating situation. We continue, and the police, even city officials, have said please pray for this officer. So very critically injured. We also have a 4-year-old little boy critically injured, his mom injured after they were struck by a car while crossing the street. Happened in North Philadelphia. Police investigating this one. The little boy and his mom, they say, are in the hospital this morning. They were struck by that car last night in the Summerdale section of Philadelphia, 6:00 in the evening. Police say they responded to that crash at the intersection of Bridge Street and Summerdale Avenue. It was a 2002 Toyota Highlander traveling south on Summerdale Ave when it tried to turn left on Bridge Street. And that's when these two pedestrians, a mommy and her little boy, 4 years old, 26-year-old mom, they were struck, rushed to the hospital. And he's in critical condition this morning. Mom's in stable condition, but they're investigating this one. The driver of the Toyota stayed at the scene there, did the right thing, but this under investigation, they're saying there are no charges as of yet. And we do have new details on the drowning of that 6-year-old little boy. This is South Jersey, who we've been telling you about, drowned on the first day of summer camp in South Jersey. It happened at Liberty Lake Day Camp. This is Bordentown on Monday is when it happened. And authorities say the boy was found unresponsive in a swimming pool at the camp shortly before 2 o'clock in the afternoon was pulled out by a lifeguard, and the camp staffers tried to save his life, tried to revive the boy, calling 911. He was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. So we're now learning more details. He's being identified by his family, by his school, as Michael Stewart, 6-year-old Michael Stewart. He would have headed into the first grade. His family says they signed Michael up at camp to learn how to swim.
Oh, boy. I was just going to ask that question, if he had passed the swimming test to even be in the pool. I mean, I remember my daughters, even as recent as 2 summers ago, in 2022, when they were 8 years old, still not allowed to go in until they actually passed that swim test with lifeguards in attendance. And you got to swim the entire duration of the pool.
Yeah.
Awful.
There's nothing more important. Let me just say this again. There's nothing more important than teaching your kids how to swim.
You're so right.
Nothing more important.
Right.
The reason my son Michael became a lifeguard was because our niece Joni Logan drowned in a pool.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Years ago. And so that was why Michael became a lifeguard. He advocates for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's and actually given award-winning speeches.
He saved for that. He saved some kid's life too,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He's had about, I think at this point, 8 saves
mm-hmm.
that he's been involved in. But
probably eight that he wishes he didn't have to make.
I know.
Right?
I mean, but to your point, it's just that, in this case, and we don't have all the details, they're investigating exactly what happened, how he drowned. And they do things, I will tell you, the standard operating procedure in something like this, making sure all the lifeguards were certified. How fast did this happen? Sometimes in high heat, it's seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes people, if they're bobbing up and down,
right.
It's called a dry drowning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that they're drowning.
Right.
So it's just, this is so sad. I mean, they've released statements about that it's a senseless tragedy, and there are no words appropriate enough to capture the heartache. They remained open. And they confirmed that they do have 25 lifeguards certified in first aid, CPR, AED on staff. They have a large staff there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is under investigation, and the autopsy is pending.
Okay.
It's just so sad this morning.
Tragic.
Oh, my gosh. So we also have, we're learning more about, well, in other news, President Joe Biden issuing this mass pardon for veterans convicted of consensual same-sex activity, even though he voted for one of those landmark laws that banned people in the LGBTQ+ community from the military while he was a senator.
Ah, that was 90s Biden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Different Joe now.
So, you know, we are still in Pride Month. It's June.
That's
and
right.
And Biden is looking forward to a big campaign event with the LGBTQ+ community this Friday.
It's going by very fast. I got to tell you, can we just extend it into July? You know, let's go full 6 weeks here.
Stop.
Let's actually skip the 4th of July.
It's a sin.
It is.
So I know we'll have a lot of other news with Julian Assange, the election, and I guess it's not a surprise with Bowman. We'll talk about all of that this morning. And as well, we're looking at storms coming in and the heat advisory that we are looking at for today. 96 degrees. We will not beat a record, by the way. It's not a record temperature day, even though we're at 96 degrees. But we are going to have severe storms moving through this afternoon. Rain, thunderstorms, and very hot and humid as we lead up to those afternoon storms today. Could see some high winds, but those storms bring in a cold front that will cool us off. It's going to feel great overnight, and that really tees us up for tomorrow. 88 degrees as our Phils will come home after they play in Detroit today. Last night lost 4-1 to the Tigers, but coming home tomorrow to start a new series and gorgeous baseball weather, gorgeous beach weather, anything you want to do. 88 and sunny for your Thursday. Friday, oh my goodness, perfect day. 84 degrees, bright sunny skies. Moving into the weekend, we do have chances of those pop-up showers, heating up to 86 for your Saturday, 90 degrees for Sunday. And then into next week, You're going to love it weather-wise. We are in the low to mid-80s and sunny skies at least through midweek next week. So finally, we're hitting some cooler weather and out of the heat after we get through today. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Don, thank you very much. 6:14 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning. MAGA, merely a Gen X reboot and an establishment rebellion? Well, last Wednesday in Nashville, after packing boxes and cleaning out our garage and getting prepared to load the U-Haul truck on Friday for the move back to Pennsylvania, my mother-in-law and I sat out back on the deck for a drink as darkness approached. Naturally, we got into politics. Naturally, she lost her mind over Donald Trump yet again. And we have always butted heads in a loving fashion over Trump v. Hillary, Trump v. Biden, and once again, Trump v. Biden, the rematch. But this was the first time since I started doing this radio show that she asked me the following question. And I didn't even hesitate to answer or ponder my explanation. And the question she had for me was, what is it with MAGA and their Trump obsession? And I said, the answer is simple. It's a rebellion against the establishment. And the conversation continued for well over an hour into the night before we turned in to get some sleep. But it's really quite simple. Make America great again is not make America white again, as Stephen A. Smith has implied recently on ESPN. It's an American first agenda. But more importantly, the more I thought about it, it's actually a reboot of Generation X. Gen X rebelled against the establishment. They rebelled against authority. They rebelled against traditional norms, standard operating procedure, and being told what to do, how to do it, and the fact that you'll do it and you'll like it. And yes, MAGA under Trump is a reboot of Ronald Reagan, but for the Gen X crowd, who are now between the ages of 44 to 59, who were born between 1965 and 1980, it's about rebelling against the way Washington has always done it, in particular, the way the GOP has always done it. Because we arrived at the conclusion that career politicians don't care about us. They only care about lining their pockets and enriching their own lives. Dawn says it all the time. They are playing us. People like Nikki Haley, who charged $400,000 an hour to be at a speaking engagement. Not many were buying what she was selling. And speaking of reboots, she's nothing more than a refurbished, repackaged, and rebranded Bush Republican. But most MAGA Trump supporters, who were Republicans before, never want to go back to the Bush, Cheney, and Romney days of Republican politics. And then there are some MAGA supporters who never were a Republican before Trump came along, like myself. And if the GOP reverts back to rhinos and uniparty hacks and swamp sellouts, they'll abandon the Republican Party quick, fast, and in a hurry in the post-Trump era. We want an economy that is America first. We want a secure border where illegal immigrants aren't caught and released between ports of entry, but deported for not going about the process properly. We want law and order. We want accountability, low inflation, energy independence, drill, baby, drill. The American dream to be achievable once again. And no more stinking wars. Sorry, Lindsay. And Gen Xers will tell you, rebelling against authority was a great time. It didn't necessarily mean breaking the law, but it meant challenging your parents' orders. It meant standing up to archaic teachers who were over the hill. It meant watching things you shouldn't, listening to music with parental advisory warnings. And I got suspended in 1998 from school for 5 days for giving the DX crotch chop to my 9th grade history teacher. Needless to say, my parents were not too happy about that. Neither was my football coach, and I ran many hills that afternoon for doing so. But when you were banned for something, it made you want it more. That, in a nutshell, is Donald Trump in the MAGA movement. That's why Trump rolled in the primaries, because MAGA was denied a second term of Trump because of 2020 and everything that ensued. And many of our theories and claims over the last 4 years have been proven either partially true or completely true. It's why I believe Donald Trump will receive more than 74 million votes this time around in 2024, because MAGA was denied 4 more years in 2020. And after having this theory of MAGA and Gen X, I just went online to see if I was alone in my theory and my thoughts, and I was not. I actually found an article from 2 years ago in 2022 written by Politico in a column with the following headline. Quote, how Gen X became the Trumpiest generation. It was written under Politico's Culture Club section and published on May 20th, 2022 by columnist Ben Jacobs. The subheadline reads, alt-rocker Sherry Westrich's journey may seem unusual, but given the strange political arc of her generation, it might not be. Here's an excerpt. It's a drowsy, rainy Thursday at the Iowa State Capitol. An Iowa State Representative, Sherrilyn Westrich, is speaking to a school group about how a bill becomes a law. The state legislator is out of session, and only a handful of members are lazing about the chamber catching up on correspondence. Westrich, a petite, cheery blonde, is just finishing up explaining how a lawmaker can summon a legislative page to their desk if they have a specific request to add to a bill. Her audience is a group of about two dozen middle school age kids seated on the floor in the back corner of the room. Just then, another legislator, Steve Holt, interrupts with a smirk. It's a school group from his district, but he had left Westrich babysitting them for a few minutes. Quote, you all know a fun fact about Rep. Westrich, he asks. She was in a famous rock band when she was young. You can find the videos on YouTube. Westrich then tries to explain her past to the school group of children too young to remember Kanye West at the VMAs, let alone the mid-90s alternative rock scene. Quote, well, so you guys know who Madonna is, right? Madonna signed my band to her record label, and we all toured around the world and got to play all the big coliseums and venues like Madison Square Garden, and then we had videos. You guys know about MTV, right? We had two of them, and you can still find them online from a long time ago, back in the 1900s, end quote. Politico continues, the children laugh politely, and then it's time for them to go back to their school bus. But their tour of the Iowa State Capitol and brief excursion into 90s nostalgia were over. But for Westrich, neither was. The first-term Iowa Republican was a Zelig-like figure in the 90s pop culture, but she's perhaps best known for playing keyboard with The Rentals, a 90s band that scored a single hit with the song Friends of P, while touring the world with performers like Blur and Alanis Morissette. Now, 20 years later, after getting inspired to enter politics by former President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign, Westrich is a solidly conservative state rep from blue-collar Southeast Iowa who is pro-gun and anti-vaccine mandate. It may be an unusual trajectory for someone who played synthesizer in a popular alt-rock band, but given the politics of people in her generation, it actually might not be unusual at all. That's from Politico. So the next time you run into a mother-in-law, a friend, a family member, or even a total stranger in person or on social media, and they can't fathom how you are a MAGA Republican, just hit them with everything I just told you. And who cares if they agree or not? Your analogy and comparison could very well be spot on. MAGA and Gen X, not that different. And just keep rocking on. And that's the big take.
Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some of the updates and results from a lot of elections and primaries last night. And also, is the dark horse for Veep not a dark horse at all? Because he's going to be there Thursday night after all. We'll get into that as we continue. It's Kale and Company on this Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Live coverage of the debate starting at 9 o'clock, and it says on their screen, simulcast of CNN. I'm like...
Yeah.
What are they, in cahoots together?
No, CNN is giving, they're letting any network carry it.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Well, whatever CNN can do to drum up their or increase their numbers, I guess, right?
It is.
Factor it all in together.
Which means I think it's a bigger night for Jake Tapper and Dana Bash than it is for Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Yeah, and also, in all seriousness, how is Dana Bash not kind of excluded or deemed ineligible to moderate a debate when her husband, I believe, was one of those 51 intel officers that deemed Hunter Biden's laptop to be Russian disinformation? We spent a lot of yesterday talking about Jake Tapper and his disdain for Trump and the Hitler comparisons. But for the love of God, once then, I think Dana Bash is currently married to this individual who's one of those intel officers, because she used to be married to King, right? And then they got divorced?
Yeah.
Right. So she goes from marrying that bore on television to marrying a guy who's like, yeah, you know, this laptop thing, it's not real.
Richard Ryan says they're not letting them, they are charging them. That's just not true. It's just not true. I mean, we're taking it for nothing.
Okay.
So it's just, it's not true.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you for that.
Yes. So, Dawn, I want to ask you this, because you made a great statement many months ago on this show in regards to the big take with MAGA, and you said Donald Trump didn't create the MAGA movement. He answered the movement. What does MAGA mean to you? Because the conversation that I had to have with my mother-in-law was fascinating, and it's not something I've done for the first time, but it was the first time we had that conversation, her and I. We've always talked on this show what MAGA means beyond Make America Great Again. But what does it mean to you personally?
It means Make America Great Again, which Trump did not even coin. That was coined by, obviously, Ronald Reagan back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Some people don't remember that or talk about that, but to me, it's really simple. Make America great again. Peace, prosperity, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, and I really believe that the reason people like your mother-in-law, who I know you love and adore, and she's a great lady and a great mom and grandmom, but that's what bothers me about especially Joe Biden's speech right here in Philadelphia. I'll never forget that. And we were down the shore because it was the beginning of the school year, football games underway at the shore, and Biden was to speak. And so I, you know, was watching this, and he had the Marines behind him, that weird red lighting, Independence Mall, and talked about evil MAGA.
Yeah.
And I was stunned by that.
It was a very angry, animated, yes, agitated, very, it almost had like a violent theme to it, yes, did it not? Like, just with the backdrop.
And I wish I could say, I think it was one of my kids, I'm not sure, but right away, you know, they said, it's Darth Biden. It was like a Star Wars thing.
Uh-huh.
And so to me, I just thought, wow, he's talking about me. I'm a mom in a minivan. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Right.
And I really just think that they've demonized a whole group of people who truly just want to make America great again. We've been through hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tough with the economy, the pandemic, like Bidenomics, everything. And for him to demonize, it's one thing to attack your candidate on their policies or attack them personally.
Mm-hmm.
You be you. When you start attacking hundreds of millions of Americans, yeah, half the country,
yep,
what is that all about?
Right. You personally just go after 74 million people in a nation of 340 yeah million, in a nation where there was 150. To your point, you just went after half of the voters that voted the last time around.
And why?
And honestly, is it any different than Hillary calling us deplorables?
Right.
It's just he didn't use that word. But I would argue he was more venomous than Hillary was. I mean, Hillary was just a word. I can get past words. The left, they can't get past certain words. But Biden had such a, especially for a man who said he was going to unite the country,
yes,
a fractured nation more divided than ever. He's done nothing but further drive the divide.
And he's from Delaware. I always think of the Delaware way. We always hear, and I love Delaware. And I covered Joe Biden for many years as a news reporter in so-called, you know, mainstream media, CBS News, Fox. And I always thought, well, he's a kind man, and he's known as a, you know, we knew him as a senator, and then the Veep and the friendship bracelets with Obama. And all of a sudden, there he is with the U.S. Marines as props behind him, that red lighting, just the way that he said it, the MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, to me, it's all part of this idea that because he wants to win re-election, he also wants people to think of people who vote for Trump, so-called Make America Great Again Republicans, to be viewed differently. And it goes with this theme of weaponization of government and this idea that, well, certain people deserve to be treated differently because, you know, they're evil. MAGA.
Yeah. Stocker, you're a Gen X pop culture guy. Is the MAGA Gen X comparison or analogy accurate? Do you think maybe MAGA or Gen X, maybe a little more libertarian?
I don't know. I understand where you're going with this. I do understand the rebellion nature of it, but I do also feel like Gen X was rebelling against something in the 80s or 90s, and then everybody grew up. So maybe some of it is still true, but maybe not. I don't know.
Because there was a lot of guys last night at the event at Zlock that I would say were probably Gen Xers in that 44 to 59 young fit military guys, and I would assume most of them last night were either Republicans or Trump supporters, but there could have been some just pro-military Democrats last night as well.
Yeah, I'm anytime you're going to play a clip from Degeneration X and The Breakfast Club, you know, I get
points for that.
I'm all in. But yeah, look, I mean, it's the, you know, there's definitely a tired of the status quo.
Correct.
As far as politicians go. I mean, yes, that was always, you know, that was Trump's appeal in 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now that he's been in politics for, how long have we been talking about him? Like, he's
close to a decade.
He's been in politics for 10 years now. Like, he's not really the anti-establishment guy anymore, is he? He kind of is the establishment.
That's what Nikki Haley tried to paint him as.
But
I thought she missed on that, because I think she's more establishment than he'll ever be.
Please don't compare me to Nikki Haley. But he's been, like, MAGA is the Republican Party now. So how can you be anti-establishment when it's he's the face of the Republican Party? You can't be anti-establishment and the face of the Republican Party.
Valid, unless this is a brief deviation in American politics on the Republican side of the aisle. Does MAGA continue years down the road? Everything that was successful under Trump, can that be replicated and duplicated for election cycles and elections for years to come? Or is it after Trump is gone, or even now in the Trump era? You know, you go back to 2020, you go back to 2022 midterms. If Trump loses again in 2024, was this just a outlier? Was this just a one-off where it was the right time, it was the right person against the right opponent, which was Hillary Clinton, and then we go back to the way it used to be?
No, I think he changed politics forever.
Okay.
But that doesn't negate the fact that you can't really call him anti-establishment when he's the face of one of the two parties we have in this country.
Gotcha.
It's just, you just can't do it. He came in 15 as a disruptor. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought he was going to win in 15. I 100% understand that. And then, you know, he ascended to victory. So 15, 16, he was the ultimate outsider. Then he became president. He's like, he's not really an outsider then.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. So, a couple of election results from last night. You heard Dawn mention this a little bit in the news. Jamal Bowman is the first squad Democrat to get defeated as he loses his New York primary in a major blow to progressives. George Latimer unseating Jamal Bowman in the Democratic primary in New York's 16th congressional district, which was a kind of a big upset. It's a big sting and a blow to progressives in what, according to The Hill, has been the party's most divisive primary of the cycle. Latimer, a Westchester County executive, defeated Bowman, the notorious fire alarm yanker, in a fierce contest that became a proxy battle between differing ideological factions of the Democratic Party, which
and
we have
money.
Talked about, and a lot of money, right?
It was the most expensive district primary ever or something.
Yes. Yes. And the pivotal issue, according to The Hill, separating the candidates was their stances towards Israel amid the country's ongoing war with the Palestinian militant group Hamas. So Bowman takes a loss, but AOC wins her primary over former Wall Street banker Marty Dolan. So AOC, when you jump around on stage like you're a contestant on The Price is Right, that's clearly your path to victory, I guess, moving forward. But she racked up enough votes to beat the political newcomer Dolan. According to the Associated Press last night, they called the race less than 20 minutes after the polls closed at 9 p.m. And according to the New York Post, the primary contest spilled beyond the confines of the 14th Congressional District's Bronx and Queens boundaries, in large part because of AOC's national profile and perhaps because of a conservative Texas group's shaky grasp of New York City geography. The people that were basically bankrolling Marty Dolan put up billboards in Times Square, far from the district, which where they were trying to blast her put her on notice, and it did not work out. And then I mentioned Lauren Boebert. She got a big victory last night in Colorado, and she actually switched districts, and she tried to run for and was victorious in the seat that Ken Buck held. As you know, Ken Buck has left, and if you've ever watched C-SPAN and seen any of these House floor votes, Ken Buck is probably, if you're thinking about just the biggest rhino or uniparty hacks of the Republican Party, Ken Buck's probably that guy, because more often than not, he votes with Democrats. So I don't know what this guy has been doing all his life, but Boebert takes his spot, and that's where we stand. I do want to get to this, though. Vivek Ramaswamy said something interesting last night, and this goes back to the stalker theory of he's not necessarily buying the final three of Rubio, Vance, and Burgum on Trump's shortlist for VP. Vivek Ramaswamy confirming last night that he will be attending the first debate tomorrow night after Trump said his VP pick will be in attendance. So if you are of the belief that it will not be Burgum, Vance, or Rubio, I don't even want to use the word dark horse, because nobody, I think, has shined brighter in Republican primary politics over the last 6 to 8 months than Vivek Ramaswamy, a man that many knew little about. If you were to look at him as a stock, you would have bought him very, very low, and his value has ascended. Is it possible that if you believe what Stalker says, it won't be one of these three, that it could still be Vivek? We've heard Trump say, oh, he's definitely going to have a position. He's definitely got a spot in my administration. But could he shock the world and select Vivek within the next 2 or 3 weeks? I would not rule that completely out. And if you look at Trump from the outsider perspective and the, you know, combative nature and the well-spoken nature and, you know, who has ruffled Trump's feathers, you know, Rubio said this in the past, Vance said that in the past, Vivek Ramaswamy, literally, during the primaries, other than the fact that he was trying to, quote, challenge Trump for the nomination, remember on the debate stage, Vivek Ramaswamy never took a swipe at Trump, never said a negative word about Trump, was in Miami for his indictment when he officially got charged in the Mar-a-Lago case. If you talk about loyalty, I don't know that there's anybody that's been a bigger Trump advocate than Vivek Ramaswamy. Is it possible? Could he be the VP? Would it shock you? Would it shock the world? I'll tell you this much. I guarantee you this. There's nobody that MAGA would love more than Vivek, and that includes J.D. Vance. I think if you ask every major, major MAGA Trump-loving Republican, J.D. Vance or Vivek Ramaswamy, I think 9 out of 10 take Vivek.
It's not going to be a Vivek.
Okay. All right. Just throwing it out there.
Dawn.
He's going to be in attendance, but then again, there could be 15 people in attendance that you could argue might be the guy or
gal. To me, I would say he's to your point, he's probably a dark horse candidate, but would it surprise me? No, I think it's great that we have this, look at this great field of candidates, and I think Vivek will definitely be in the new Trump cabinet. Yeah. I absolutely think that.
Okay.
He's 38 years young. He's brilliant. He has, he's very loyal to Trump. So I think
he would steal the spotlight too much. It's not going to be him.
But if Trump does win, isn't the one of the notions or the ideas and concepts of the VEEP is who you kind of hand the ball off to for the next 8 years? Could you imagine Vivek getting 4 years of experience underneath Trump in Washington, learning the swamp, and then somehow, some way, he became president of the United States and had 8 years. I mean, people's heads would explode. And oh, by the way, imagine Vivek against Kamala in a debate.
Oh, that would be epic.
It'd be like the Eagles playing Temple. Just saying. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll give you some polling updates and a betting market update on the election on the other side as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Guys, gals, if you're in the market for a luxury vehicle, can I entice you on the Mercedes-Benz C300 Coupe? At Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, they will take care of you and get you into your dream ride. The Benz C300 is sleek and stylish on the outside, and it's packed with advanced technology on the inside. Its touchscreen interface and AI voice recognition are sure to impress. It's like having Vivek Ramaswamy riding shotgun with you. You're never going to get steered in the wrong direction. The 2024 C300 features a turbocharged 2-liter 4-cylinder engine with 255 horsepower available today at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, or maybe you want to swing by in Atlantic City, perhaps after riding your bike 65 miles. Shop online, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This is now, according to Polymarket, where you can wager on the election offshore. There's $180 million in wagers that have already been placed on the 2024 election. And according to Polymarket, the betting odds and the likelihood, the implied odds, if you will, of Donald Trump winning, there has been a 28-point net swing in favor of Trump in the last 9 weeks. Just let me encapsulate this as briefly as I can. On April 18th, Biden had a 2-point lead, 45-43. A month later, on May 20th, Trump was up 10, 52-42%. On May 30th, as we approached Memorial Day, Trump was up 15, 54%-39%. As of yesterday, June 25th, Donald Trump now has a 26-point lead, according to the implied odds in the betting market. Donald Trump, 60% likely to win the election. Joe Biden with a 34% chance from a probability perspective. That is a net 28-point swing towards Trump in the last 9 weeks. Hour number two is on the way. Kale and Company, as we continue on a Wednesday, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.